Hi there. Thank you very much for joining us on this week's Sweet Spot. It's the Racing Posts Golf Show with Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer. Two cracking tournaments to get stuck into. Three to recap. Another dramatic week on planet golf. Don't forget, if you do enjoy the Sweet Spot, we would love you to subscribe, like, comment, and share. First of all, Steve, week off last week, and high drama right here. I was just preparing for the show, actually, and a chap on Twitter said, don't forget to ask Steve about Weymouth's great escape. So I suppose we better start with that. And what happened?
My gosh, it was an action-packed week. There was no resting last week. It was just boom, 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 boom. Couple of days at Alton Towers. Round of golf at Wentworth on Thursday. Made a par at the notoriously difficult 15th hole. Real feather in my cap. But then, yeah, the main event, Dover Athletic against Weymouth FC. A real spectacle. Weymouth completed the great escape. I don't want to bore you with statistics, but we were in a relegation zone for 487 days. Obviously, all of last season got relegated, and then all of this, the entirety of this season, until the last game of the season, the 46th match, we won our last three games in a row to get out of it at Dover.
Wow.
Stayed up on goal difference, and yeah, it was just a very, very emotional day. And
did you go?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
You went
yeah,
to
yeah,
the
yeah.
Crabble. It's called the Crabble, isn't it, Dover?
Went to the Crabble, and the Dover fans were excellent. There was a fantastic atmosphere.
Because they were in danger as well, weren't they?
They were in danger, so they stayed up and we stayed up. We beat them 2-0, but we both stayed up. So it was a fantastic atmosphere, a lovely sunny day. And then Dulwich Hamlet, poor old Dulwich Hamlet, went down. But yeah, I mean, it was such a fantastic day. I put it in the top 5 days of my life.
Oh, wow.
And actually ended up on Radio 5 Live on the Saturday night talking about it.
Really?
Keith, who was our designated elevated driver, he decided he wanted to ring up and go on Robbie Savage's and Chris Sutton's show on the way home. And then when the moment came, Keith was flapping like a canary. So he's talked to the researcher and been all calm and confident. Then the moment came and he was like, he threw the phone at me. And
He bottled it
to some degree. Oh. He said he couldn't find a way off the road, to be fair to him. He was struggling because they're what you're talking and driving for obvious reasons. So suddenly I was on the radio and I was...
How much alcohol had you consumed at this point?
I think the researcher would have been pretty angry at what happened because he obviously got the sober, calm one and then he got me. And I just, yeah, I was tired and emotional. But yeah, I got on all right with Robbie and Chris Sutton, I think, is the other fella.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah,
brilliant.
But yeah, the Terriers have stayed up. Yeah, Bobby Wilkinson is the man. He's our manager. He's our hero. He's my new hero. I said to my daughter yesterday, he's taken over from Tiger Woods as my number one hero, Bobby Wilkinson.
Great. Oh, fantastic. That's good. I'm always intrigued. I know it's not really pivotal to the story, but the way people call them researchers, I'm never quite sure why. What I mean, they always say that, don't they? They say, like, I was just telling you a researcher. Like,
yeah.
What do they research? They're just the bloke or the girl who answers the phone. I mean, that is...
I suppose they should be called gatekeepers, shouldn't they?
I think they're actually assistant producers, but gatekeepers is quite a good name. Although during the week, I don't suppose they do a lot of gatekeeping. But anyway, we digress. But well done.
To keep people like me off the radio, I think, is their main job. But big success. And looking forward to the week ahead.
Lovely stuff. Well done. Well, I'm glad you had a good time. Okay, right then. We'll start our recap with the Mexico Open, where it looked like it was going to be a shootout between Tony Finau and Jon Rahm, who dominated the market. And that is precisely how it turned out, although the hot favourite, Jon Rahm, could never quite get on terms with Finau, who... I'm doing it. I should just ask a question, then you do the recapping. But I'm going to end up throwing to you, and you're just going to go, yeah, that's what happened, basically. But anyway, the bottom line is Finau held on, won again. Rahm gave it a good go, 10 under for his third round. But Finau, not just a great golfer who's learned how to win, Steve, but what a great chap. 3 hours after his victory, he's out there carrying the bags for his two young kids who are out playing a par three course. You couldn't love him anymore, could you?
No, what a class act. You know, he's just a devoted family man, isn't he? I mean, I've never heard of that scenario unfolding ever before. You know, normally the player will be... you know, do his media conference and then go and have a few spurts or fly to the next event, you know, focused on the next event. Yeah, it's a big event this week. And there he was, you know, making sure his son's had a great time too. So, yeah, delighted for Tony Finau. He clearly loves that track. When he was second last year, winner this year, 6-time PGA Tour champion now. So yeah. Tony Finau just goes from strength to strength.
Must have been a bad week for the bookies there, because the market leaders dominated. Anyone else catch your eye in Mexico?
Yeah, I mean, it must have been, because you had the first, second, and third were the same the previous year. Because Brandon Wu finished third. He tied second last year. Yeah, Rahm won. Finau was runner up. So golf betting's easy, isn't it? Golf betting's easy. Yeah, we all know how easy this game is. Brandon Wu deserves a big mention. He's so settled on the PGA Tour now. I think he'll become a champion in due course.
Okay, now talking about golf betting's easy. Golf betting's easy if you just back Pablo Larrazabal every week, because he's won his third tournament in 13 months in the Korea Open. I mean, this guy, when he gets a sniff of a leaderboard, Steve, absolutely lethal.
You're absolutely right. You know, he's a proven winner, isn't he? He's an 8-time DP World Tour champion now and consistently underrated. You know, he went off 80-1 last week.
Did he really? Oh.
He's underrated, because I think because his swing's so ugly, he's not a player that impresses with his swing. But his temperament is clearly good enough to win tournaments at this level. He's such a good traveller. I know that sounds a silly thing to say, but he's a proven global performer. You know, he's won all over Europe. He won in Abu Dhabi, South Africa, and now Korea. Some players are good at just adapting to conditions, and he's one of them.
He certainly is. I mean, do you remember I had that plan a couple of years ago to back Kevin Na for every tournament? I don't think not only has he not won a tournament since, I'm not even sure he's completed a tournament since. This guy, Larrazabal, if he's going to be going off 80-1 against those same old faces, I think I might just have to have a quid on him every single week he plays. He's extraordinary, isn't he?
I'm not going to put you off that, because he's only 39, I believe, and you know, there's plenty of lead in his pencil, and he's probably got a good five years of winning further DP World Tour titles. And then maybe Marcus Helikida could be another one of your back every week boys. Would you like to do that?
Tell us why.
Well, I mean, he's won 3 times.
You can't just throw Marcus Helikida in there.
We've been before. I mean, he's a 3-time Challenge Tour winner. He's only 26, clearly good enough to win on the DP World Tour. Yeah, I think Marcus Helikida has got great potential. And then maybe the one you shouldn't be doing it with, I don't know, is Robert McIntyre. I mean, another really disappointing Sunday for McIntyre fans. I mean, he's just contending every time he plays now. He's let a lot of good winning chances go. Final round 72. Closed with 11 consecutive pars. You know, it's been so much frustration for McIntyre fans. He finished tied 7th, and he's defending champion this week in Italy. So, you know, he'll be popular again this week. You know, he's a tempting option, but he must be getting desperate for a trophy.
Absolutely. Well, not desperate for a trophy is Taylor Gooch, who became the first LIV player to go back-to-back on the new tour. He denied poor old Joe, who stood in for you last week, Steve, and put up as his main man there, Sergio Garcia, at a big price. And Sergio just faltered in the playoff. But that was a good tip by Joe. And shame he couldn't have got it done. But Taylor Gooch, back-to-back there. I mean, is this guy a major champion in waiting, do you think?
Well, I mean, he won't care, given how much money he's won in the last... the last two events. I mean, he came to LIV Golf in his prime, didn't he? You know, he's one of these players that was at his peak when he came in, and it certainly worked out financially. You know, whether he's going to, you know, is he going to sit his grandchildren on his knee in 50 years time and say, I was the first to win back-to-back LIV Golf events? I mean, they're not going to be that impressed, are they? I don't.
When they see their inheritance, they will. They won't give. They won't care that he didn't win the 2024 USPGA, mate.
Well, this is it. But I mean, he was moaning, wasn't he, about the how much the Australian tax man took. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Because
no.
when he won LIV Golf Adelaide, the first prize is $4 million, and he said he only got $2.1 million because the Australian tax man, it took 47% of his winnings. He took $1.9 million. So yeah, that's why he needed to win last week, because he wasn't happy with $2.1 million.
Round and get him a violin, bless his heart. I'm sure he'll be all right.
But yeah, he's improved. He's still improving. He's a quality player. He's tempting on, you know, tough stateside major courses, I suppose. But and Garcia, I'd worry about Garcia. His performance in the playoff was, he had a series of bad shots in that playoff. You know, he hasn't won for getting on for 3 years now, so he's not in my plans for majors. The one who is. And we should conclude this section by mentioning Brooks Koepka again. I mean, he finished third. It's another really strong performance. And he's the one LIV player that with the mate, the stateside majors coming, you're just like, oh my gosh, Cooper's going to be such a force in them.
That was very catty of you to denigrate Joe's tip like that. Poor old Joe.
Oh, no denigration. But no, I was just angry. I was angry for Joe because...
Oh, fair enough, mate.
Garcia in a playoff against Gooch, I assume he went off favourite. I don't know. It would have been, maybe it was 5-6 each.
Maybe Gooch over, wouldn't you?
I think when
you have a week off, do you ever look at the results and go, yeah, I think I would have won that week, or I would have tipped them, or do you ever think to yourself, I could have done with work in that week?
I try not to get bogged down in that. I have done in the past, and it's never going to have positive. Yeah, if someone's absolutely rubbish wins, I'm always pleased, obviously, because I'm not going to have it. Yeah, last week's ones, I feel like I could have made an impact, and I don't know for sure. And
You never know.
Unless you do your processes, you never know. That's why I don't want to get bogged down in it, and I hope you're not going to ask me to get bogged down in it.
I'm not going to ask you to get bogged down at all. No. I think when you have a week off, you should stay fresh, definitely. Yeah. What I would like is for someone to sit... I don't know if Radio 5 have like a replay button. I know they do on TalkSport. You can listen again. Yeah, I'd love to get a clip of you.
I've been sent that by people.
You have been sent that.
Found it very amusing. Yeah, yeah. The 1 hour, 18 minute mark is where I come into play.
Okay. Could you forward that to me, please?
Yeah, I will, yeah.
All right, mate. Nice. Right, should we look ahoy?
Yes. Good events.
Okay, two events this week. The Wells Fargo Championship and the Italian Open. We'll start with the Wells Fargo, which... Looking at the quality of the field, Steve, looks like it's elevated and designated and all those other things, isn't it?
It sure is. It sure as hell is.
Yeah, they as we've said before, they need to give this a proper name, like a platinum tournament, don't they, or something?
Yeah. It's too wishy-washy, isn't it? Yeah. They could have
Graham Taylor going, Platy! No.
they could and they should. Well, they can't because he's dead, unfortunately. But, yeah, they've come up with something, yes.
Okay, right. Here is the latest indicative market prices. Rory McIlroy 7-1. Patrick Cantlay 12-1. Xander Schauffele 14-1. Tony Finau 16-1. Jordan Spieth 20-1. Cameron Young 20-1. Victor Hovland 20s. And then it's 22. Justin Thomas, Matt Fitzpatrick, Morikawa, Homer. 25 Day&M, 33 Bar. What a great tournament. And we are at beautiful Quail Hollow, Steve. That's the one with the gorgeous little sort of stream running up the 18th fairway, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, we were there for the President's Cup last year. We're in Charlotte, North Carolina. 7,538 yards, par 71, three par fives. Yeah, a long Parkland track. It's hosted this event since 2003, apart from 2017, the year that it staged the USPGA instead, and then last year when it hosted the President's Cup. It's become a big hitter's playground. One big hitter in particular has thrived there. Rory McIlroy, centre of attention this week. He's won three of the last 10 Wells Fargos at Quail Hollow. And the weather forecast this week will encourage the powerhouses again. You know, clear and calm conditions. $20 million in the pot. $3.6 million to the winner. 156 runners going to post.
Lovely stuff. Right, then, without further ado, how many tips have you got?
Three.
Who's number one?
It's Cameron Young at 22-1. I think the time has come for Cameron Young, the best maiden on the PGA Tour. I don't think anyone would argue with that. He's a beast of a golfer. 2022 PGA Tour Rookie of the Year. We were on at fancy prizes for the 2022 USPGA, you might remember. He finished third in that. Then he followed up with second spot in the Open Championship. And then last month, he contended in the Masters, finished seventh. So he's already become a regular major contender. Surely only a matter of time before he gets off the mark in a regulation event. He won twice on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2021. He's now a six-time PGA Tour runner-up. He was runner-up in the Saudi International and the Asian Tour in February. So I think the floodgates will open for Young and soon, and he can get off the mark this Sunday. You know, maybe the other members of the elite, you know, gearing up for the forthcoming majors, subconsciously taking it a bit easier. But Young, desperate to get this monkey off his back, surely he'll have full focus for the Wells Fargo. One of his six runner-up finishes came in this event last year. Different course, but Quail Hollow, an even better fit for me. It's a big boys course. It's a driver's course. Perfect for Young. And he played in the President's Cup there last year to get a feel for it. He scored 1.5 points from four matches, you know, representing USA for the first time. Yeah, not a bad effort. This is his second appearance of Quayle Hollow, and I'm expecting fireworks. The golf he played in the match play, you must remember that at the end of March. I mean, he was sensational in that. First tournament with Paul Tesori as his caddy. They look like they're going to be a fearsome partnership. He lost in the final of that. He's going to kick on and get off the mark this week.
Excellent, mate. A very strong case there. Was that as fluent as you were on Five Live the other night?
No. It was embarrassing performance because I didn't expect to come on and just get a phone thrown at me. I'm inebriated. And then suddenly Robbie Savage is in me. And I just kept repeating the same thing again and again and again. And
What did you repeat?
Well, the fella that came on just before was an Arsenal fan. And he was moaning about you know, Arteta's tactics and that. Yeah, the usual stuff, like he knows better than Arteta. And I just kept going on about, you know, he's moaning about this, he's moaning about that. And it was supposed to be a big, jolly, upbeat phone call about Weymouth staying up. And I just spent it just moaning about Arsenal fans.
I cannot wait to hear this. This will be brilliant.
It didn't work out.
Okay. If I can, hopefully one of my kids can help me get the technology so I can stick it in the comments. I'll stick a link in the comments underneath this.
Blimey,
so you can enjoy that. Right then. Okay. So we've got Cameron as the main tip. Who is the second selection?
It is Ricky Fowler at 35-1. Yeah, we've got the old Ricky Fowler back. Butch Harmon thrilled with the progress they're making together. Fowler's confidence slowly but surely is returning, consistently appearing on leaderboards now. He was second in the Zozo Championship at the end of last year. His form figures from his last seven stroke play starts are 11, 10, 20, 31, 13, 10, 15. He's building towards that trophy. This is a former world number four on the comeback trail. He beat John Rahm in the match play at the end of March. This week, Fowler tees up at one of his favourite PGA Tour tracks. He was sixth on his debut at Quayle Hollow in 2010. He won the tournament in 2012. PGA Tour breakthrough, beat Rory McIlroy in a playoff. He was fourth in 2016, fifth in the 2017 US PGA there, fourth in 2019. Fowler loves Quayle Hollow. Quayle Hollow loves Fowler. Let's get it on!
You love Fowler, but is this last chance saloon for Ricky or not? Or could you keep the faith, whatever he does here? You've got him down as winning again soon, haven't you?
I've got him down as winning again soon, and he's actually getting better in all departments. Yeah, the work Butch is doing with him is working in every single department. Improvement, 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 improvement. I think he's going to get back to the player he was.
Okay, that would be exciting. Who else do you like, Steve?
The final one, the biggest price tip of the week, is Cam Davis. 90-1 is best now, I believe, who did well on a losing international side at Quayle Hollow in the President's Cup last year. He won 2 points from five matches against a magnificent American team. You know, it doesn't sound good, 2 from 5, but you know, it is good. And he teamed up with Siwoo Kim to beat Scotty Scheffler and Sam Burns in the opening foursomes. You know, what a scout that was. He was unlucky with the draw all week. He had to play the Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas dream team on the Friday. Then he got Spieth in the singles. Spieth was going 5-0. So Davis did well at Quayle Hollow in the President's Cup. He was 26th there in the last Wells Fargo. This year, got off to a rough start. He said he was unwell for 2 months. I'm not entirely sure what the illness was, but he was ill for 2 months. Got his energy levels back for Sawgrass. You know, good timing. Finished 6th in the Players' Championship, banked a juicy check. He won a couple of matches at the match play. Then last time out in the Heritage, which don't forget was a designated elevated event, Davis finished 7th in that. So he's been appearing on leaderboards in good company. He's already a PGA Tour champion. Yeah, I think he's the best outsider by a long way.
Okay. And talking about Scotty Scheffler, why are he and Rahm not playing this week if it's so designated and elevated?
Well, you're allowed one off, aren't you? I mean, obviously Rory controversially has had her two off, but they're electing to go for this one. You know, USPGA.
How many more are there?
Good question. There's 14 in total. Yeah, there's probably plenty
more.
Quite
a lot so far, haven't
they? Yeah, yes, it's a big commitment for the players to have to do all this. I think they're changing the rules next year to give them a bit more freedom. But with the USPGA looming large and USOB, I mean, Rahm, to his credit, we must give Rahm a pat on the back. I'm sure he's desperate for a pat on the back from us. But he defended the Mexico Open title last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, a dutiful title defence. Rather than playing this one for $3.6 million shares. So, all credit to Rahm. He's a fine man.
He's a fine young man. He's still young.
I suppose
young.
They're all young to us.
He looks old. He looks old, but he's not, is he?
Yeah. He's got all this coarse hair, I suppose.
Oh, he's just so sort of butch, isn't he? He's so burly, isn't he? And
he is a butch, big burly boy, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Right.
Where were we?
I think are we done on that tournament? Is there any other market? We've got to talk about Rory, haven't we? Yeah, 7-1-5.
We can't be done without talking about Rory. I mean,
no.
Everyone's been talking about Rory apart from Rory for the last, since the Masters. He's basically gone into hiding, hasn't he? I mean, that media conference before this going to be heavily attended. Yeah, they'll be standing on the dancing on the ceilings to get into that one. 15-2 we're left with now. He's the course record holder at Quail Hollow. Yeah, he's broken all the records at Quail Hollow. He's got a 61 to his name around here, which is ridiculous. It's a hard golf course, and he's fired a 61 and a couple of 62s, I think. This is the perfect venue for him to come out of that hibernation area. It cost him $3 million to miss that Heritage. You know, did he want to come back a week after the Masters at Arbortown Links, a course which doesn't really suit him? He was prepared to sacrifice $3 million for that.
What do you mean it cost him $3 million?
Do you remember that pit money we were talking about?
There's a pot, isn't there?
There was a pot. I thought they'd only paid 25% of it already, and then there was 75 to come. But it turned out they paid 75 and there was 25 to come. So he sacrificed his 25%, which is $3 million. So, he desperately didn't want to face the spotlight there. And I can understand, I found it hard coming on Sweet Spot the following week, let alone playing the golf tournament. So I would have paid $3 million not to attend Sweet Spot if I had it. So I think it's just a question of how deep those scars are. I mean, I'm not interested in 15-2, but it's on his course record, he should be much shorter than that. He's clearly the man to beat. But, He's done well recovering from setbacks in the past, hasn't he? Yeah, let's talk about his ability to bounce back from setbacks. 2011 Masters he threw away. 2 months later he wins the US Open. That Ryder Cup where he was in tears, it was all going wrong, and then he won the singles match. When he missed the cut at Royal Portrush, that was a heartbreak for him. Then he titles for fun for the rest of the year. So he might come back from this. It's just I'm prepared to play a watching brief.
Okay, mate. Fair enough. Okay, Ryan, are we done with that one? Should we move on to the Italian Open?
I think we should, yeah.
Right. So the Italian Open is the DP World Tour event, and it's given extra spice this week because it's taking place at the... Is it called the Don Pedro?
No, it's not.
Marco Simone, which is also the venue for the Ryder Cup this year, isn't it?
Extra spice.
So that is official extra spice.
Oh, that's definitely extra spice. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Now, my daughter's banging to the Spice Girls at the moment, so I was just thinking of them. She's her favourite band. It's amazing, isn't it, the longevity of some of these bands.
They must seem ancient to her, mustn't they? 25 years ago.
Yeah, when I tell her they're the same age as me, she can't get her head around it. But, I think she's a big Spice Girls fan. But, yeah, that's not what you were getting at, was it?
No,
Don Pedro's in Portugal, isn't it? So.
Oh, is it? Okay, yeah, right. Well, anyway, the point is there is extra spice here. And there are players looking to get into the team. Before we look at this, Steve, I just wanted to touch on the Ryder Cup because there's a lot of this. I think there's three or four players here who are very short to be on the European Ryder Cup team. And if you look at it, right, if you look at the market, I've got Sky Bet's prices here to make the team. And basically, there's a big six, okay, who are absolute certainties, which is big seven. You've got Rahm, McIlroy, Fitzpatrick, Hatton, Hovland, Fleetwood, Lowry, right? They're all at least 1-20. But I'll read out some of the other ones. Quite interesting. These are the next ones.
I love Ryder Cup chat. This is
a good, valid Ryder Cup chat. It's betting on who might be there. There could be some value. You never know. 4-7 McIntyre. 4-6 Casey. I don't see how Casey can get in as a liver, do you?
No,
I don't think Donald's not going to be picking livers, is he?
No, I don't think he is, no.
All right, 5-6, the fine young man, Justin Rose. 10-11, Victor Perez. Even Seamus Power. 5-4, Norrin. 11-8, Rasmus Højgaard. 7-4, Thomas Peters. 5-2, Nikolai Højgaard. So it is quite interesting. There's a lot of the team are up for grabs, aren't there?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. I think 10-11, Victor Perez is quite interesting. I mean, he's in a good position on the European points list. Nikolai Højgaard is gifted. You know my love for him. I think Luke Donald will probably have him as a wild card if he doesn't make it, if he's in decent enough form. He is world class. So, yeah, they're the two that caught my ear then when you went through them.
I think it's interesting, but it's also interesting because you know that the US team will just be packed with 12 superstars, we're actually going to have some lesser names going into battle, aren't we? I wonder whether that means Donald will be relying on, he'll be heavily leaning on those eight or seven or eight sort of big names there to try and win it. But anyway, yeah, it takes place in September. I can see your complete indifference for this conversation. So we got on to the Italian Open, for which the aforementioned Rasmus Højgaard is favourite at 16. Adrian Meronk, 18. 20-1 Robert McIntyre, defending champion and desperate to qualify. Sorry, I've got this wrong. Nikolai is 16-1 favourite. Rasmus is 20. Perez is 22. Jordan Smith's 22. And then it's 30 bar. So give us a quick recap of the course and then we'll get your fancies.
It's just such a long time away, isn't it? And is it end of October, end of September, isn't it?
Yeah.
We could all be dead by then quite easily. So let's just take each week as it comes. That's
a little bit pessimistic.
It's just realistic. But yeah, we're at the Marco Simone, Rome, Italy. 7,255 yards, par 71, three par fives. Sorry, I brought the mood there.
I don't think I've ever laughed so much at being told I could quite easily be dead by September.
That is fact, I'm afraid to say. Took over as Italian Open host in 2021. I haven't hired a hitman, by the way. It sounds quite sinister.
Well, are you worried about this more escalating?
Of course I am.
What do you mean, of course you are?
I don't see how anyone can't be. I spend a lot of my time worried about that. I think anyone...
Don't you worry. Honestly, what's the point of you sitting there worrying about Putin sending a nuclear weapon to Weymouth? What is the point of you worrying about that?
Yeah, I know. But if you don't worry about that, you don't worry about anything. But I suppose that's a good way to be. I speak to Tom Segale the other day and he's got an attitude of not worrying about anything. And I'm trying to adopt that myself. But I suppose we won't know about it if it happens. We might get that silly alert on our phones, mightn't we?
Oh, yeah. I was in the clubhouse in Turnberry because you going on about your Wentworth round. But, mate, I play Turnberry and, wow, this place is something else. Honestly, Steve, that is top of our list for when we get the transatlantic double up. God, it's just beautiful. And I was in the clubhouse at Turnberry and all of a sudden everyone's phones started going off with the alarm. But what was interesting is that a group of the phones went off at about 2:59 PM and then at 3:01 PM the other half did. So
that's pretty down to the G's, isn't it? If you had a 5G, you might
think it's the network provider, yeah.
It's all about the G's, whatever they are. But completely lost my train of thought. You
told us that it was in Rome, Italy, hopefully. I think we might have got the yardage. So take it on from there. I'll shut up.
When in Rome, three par fives. We've got 2 years of course for the girl. And that's the key thing. 2021, 2022. And then obviously it's the Ryder Cup venue this year as well. Added spice. Lots of risk reward holes. You know, a couple of drivable par fours in there. And attacking golfers have thrived in this so far. Nikolai Højgaard and Robert McIntyre, the two previous winners. Sunny and calm weather for this as well. Great weather forecast this week. 156 runners going to post in this as well. So 312 golfers to consider this week. And I'm getting five of them on my side.
Wow.
307 enemies this week.
So you've got... So that means you've got two selections, doesn't it?
That is impressive math.
Did you watch last week's show, by the way? Joe came out with a really feeble four. It was hopeless.
Oh, well, it's not easy. I mean, sometimes when I have a dry larynx and I go for one, I can't speak for
it's difficult.
It's a gamble.
In mitigation as well, I think his neighbour in the flat above that, I think they have a baby, so he didn't want to wake the baby up. That would have been quite bizarre, wouldn't it? The poor dad, I mean, my son's just had a child, so I know what they're going through. And you know, if all of a sudden they come downstairs and you know, the neighbour just says, "What were you doing? You woke up our kid by shouting four or something." It would reflect badly, wouldn't it?
Well, at least we don't live in America. I mean, goodness me, did you see the story about them? They went to say the baby's sleeping there, didn't they? And this psycho went, No, don't even go there.
Don't even go there. Right then, so we've got two selections. Who is the main fancy?
It's Victor Perez at 22-1, who comes into this event a lot fresher than his market rivals, which I think is going to be significant. It's been a challenging fortnight for the DP World Tour players, trekking around Japan and Korea. The weather's not been that kind. There's been some difficult days. The courses were a lot different to that which the players are going to face this week. Perez didn't bother with either of them. I think that's going to help him over 4 days of the Italian Open. His last action was stateside. He had a really tough group in the match play, lost narrowly to Colin Morikawa and Jason Day, then thrashed Adam Svensson, played some good stuff in the Zurich Classic Pairs event, another PGA Tour event, teamed up with Thomas Detry in that, four solid rounds, 13th place. The long game of Perez can be spectacular. He's got the tools to destroy the Marco Simone. He was in bad form coming into this event in 2021, finished 18th. Then last year, he finished third, beaten by just a shot. So this course is ideal for him. And he's got big Ryder Cup ambitions, as you mentioned, 10 to 11, did you say? You know, he had a great hero. He had a great hero cup in January, 3.5 points from four matches. I think Perez could, you know, win at the Ryder Cup venue and then, you know, potentially secure his Ryder Cup spot. Won the Abu Dhabi Championship in January. You must remember that one. You know,
I do, mate. Yeah, don't worry about that.
Broke Minwuli's heart, broke our hearts. But yeah, fourth DP World Tour title is coming on Sunday.
Okay. You've definitely got your mojo back. That week off has revitalised you, hasn't it?
It was a brilliant week off, ending on a real high. Yeah. I've been on cloud nine. I've been trying to work out what that means. But yeah, that was such a life-affirming event at Dover.
Yeah.
I must give a shout-out to the Dover fans. I was in the bar afterwards and tired and emotional in there. And they were so nice.
Great.
One bloke saw how big the queue was, but just gave me a beer. All credit to the Dover fans.
Really? That's lovely. Going back to Alton Towers, what was the best ride you went on?
Oh, Smiler. Yeah, you might. Yeah, I'm not a big roller coaster man, but I thoroughly recommend Smiler. If you're an adrenaline...
Doesn't sound particularly scary.
Oh, well, that's the irony, I suppose.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Because they snap you on the way around and you're all going...
Did you take the little ones on, though? Because presumably, because they're still young, you would have had to go there on your own, wouldn't you?
In-laws, and there was a lot...
Oh, good. So you could sit with other adults. Because I always think... I remember going, I think, to Essington with our two when they were very little. And there was one sort of higher octane ride that I wanted to go on, and I had to go on my own. And I wasn't particularly comfortable with it.
You do look a bit weird as a lone rider, what they call it. But you know, each their own. Some people are mad into roller coasters, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, if people want to do, you should be able to do that on your own without anyone giving you suspicious looks, shouldn't you?
You should. And if there's anyone watching who wants to sort of reduce their stakes, their gambling stakes, be a more responsible gambler and get their adrenaline kicks in a different way, perhaps a less damaging way, that might be the idea. Just do some roller coasters instead of having millions of pounds on golfers.
Yeah, I guess so. Excellent. Right then. Well, I'm sure there is a neat way of segueing into your second tip for the Italian Open from that, but I can't think of it. So who is it?
It's Adrian Meronk, sweet spot regular 20-1, who, like Perez, has fantastic ability with driver in hand. I mean, Meronk was dazzling the Aussies just before Christmas. He won the Australian Open by 5 shots. You might remember that one. Some of his driving was, you know, he had to be seen to be believed. He won the Irish Open by 3 shots last July. You know, the career of Meronk has taken off. You know, his nationality has become less of a thing now. It used to be the first Pole to do this, the first Pole to do that. No, nobody cares anymore. He's just a world-class golfer.
He's almost, he's a little bit like the Tony Finau of the European Tour, isn't he? In so much as that he was always performing really well and everyone's like, yeah, but he doesn't win. And now he does. Do you like that analogy?
I like that analogy, that you could go a long way with that.
And he's tall.
I was going to say tall, pleasant. We could spend a day on that analogy. But more importantly, he's the highest ranked player in this week's field. I mean, you could argue he should be clear favourite. I may argue that myself. The top of the market is hugely competitive. You must have noticed. It's 20-1, 20-1, 20-1, 20-1, 20-1. The bookmakers haven't got a ruddy clue to make favourite. I would suggest the two highest ranked players in the field should be first and second in the betting. Adrian Meronk and Victor Perez are the two highest ranked players in the field. As I mentioned earlier, golf betting is easy. This week, it will be further underlined by the fact that the two highest ranked players in the field will finish first and second. Meronk finished runner-up in the 2021 Italian Open at the Marco Simone, beaten by just a shot, you know, a tour maiden at the time. Missed the cut last year. He was in terrible form. He had 2 months of poor form around that event. He just looks primed. You know, he played well in the Middle East at the start of the year. 14th in the Honda Classic on the PGA Tour at the end of February. Not many. Yeah, that could easily have been missed. He won a couple of matches at the match play. Narrowly failed to get out of his group. Understandable miscut and debut at Augusta. Didn't play again after Augusta until career last week, finished 21st. He's got enough left in the tank for this.
Lovely stuff. Okay, Steve, should we wrap it there?
I think we should wrap it.
We'll just do the roundup of selections. So you've got three.
Well, Spark Championship. Sorry.
Reiterate. Yeah, exactly. So we'll reiterate the three for the Wells Fargo Championship.
Cameron Young, Ricky Fowler, Cam Davis. He doesn't like to be called Cameron anymore.
Very really? Okay. And two for the Italian Open.
Victor Perez, Adrian Meronk.
Brilliant. Jolly good. So how are you going to continue in the next 7 days before we reconvene on this crest of a wave?
I just need to chill out a bit. Now, obviously, there's no football. That's the end of the football season. Just hopefully get a bit of sunshine. Nice to get the vitamin D coming back in, isn't it? Hopefully that'll stay out to play. We all need a little bit of sunshine, don't we?
We certainly do. And you've got a lot of work to do for next week because we've got four tournaments. We've got the Soudal Open. That's in Belgium. The big event is the Byron Nelson over in America. There's a live event in Tulsa. And is also the first senior major of the year, which is the Regions Traditions. So Steve will be beavering away to bring you his best bets for those next week. So many thanks, Steve. Many thanks to producer Will. But most of all, as always, many thanks to you for watching The Sweet Spot. Back next week. Leave your thoughts and your fancies in the comments section. And we will see you for another Sweet Spot next Tuesday.